Live from the Regis Suites in Peoria, Arizona, you're listening to Empowering Women, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside my great host of Empowering Women, Tara Elves. Tara, how are you? It's been a while.
I know. It has been a long while.
And you miss us.
I always miss you guys.
Oh, I didn't say yes, but it's a double compliment here. This is even better. Yes, and we miss you because you are a great, great talent, an advocate for women. And that's what this show is about, empowering women. I always think, and we've talked about it before, women don't get the recognition that they deserve. I mean, it's hard to believe that things are still happening this way. It's getting better.
It's getting better. Did you see the Oscars? Did you see the Patricia Arquette?
Yes.
Speech. It's been all over social media, of course, and on the news.
What is social media? I'm kidding.
But yeah, I mean, it's getting better, and I think more women. I think it's the time. You know, I think women are starting to. They're getting on board, and they're starting to go. Yeah. You know,
yes.
Hey, this is ridiculous. You know, it is true. You know, I saw some arguments on Facebook the other day after that speech, and you know, somebody saying, "Oh, well, you know, men have to go through other things," and it's like, "Yeah, but I've worked in the corporate world. I know there are different struggles that you face just because you're a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's ever going to hit on you."
Well, cultural struggles. I mean, embedded in the culture are the struggles as well, not just daily tasks. Mm-hmm. And seeing women seem to multitask better and do a lot more. A man's going to hate me now, but that's fine. But the truth is there's embedded cultural obstacles, and including the good old boys club up in Washington, D.C. That's a little bit of an issue.
No, yeah, it's universal. There is still the good old boys club in a lot of different arenas. And when you're a female and you're in it, you experience it in a different way.
Yeah.
And it. So it's real.
Oh, no doubt.
And, so hopefully as we continue to grow and we continue to get more women on board and, empowering themselves to do whatever it is they want to do in their life and not be held back by any restraints of society or their own minds.
Yeah, and that's exciting that when that happens, things will change. And who knows, we may have the first women president in 2016. It's a very good possibility.
I think so.
It's very possible. I know. I don't know. I'm apprehensive to say this, but in Arizona, if you say that on your Facebook, you might get.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, I say I don't say much being in real estate. You know, I don't. But I see all the, you know.
Still a red state.
It's a very red state.
And, you know, that's it is what it is. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I do think. I mean, you know, it's freedom of speech, theoretically, and we're going to stick to that. Freedom of speech and people, you know, that's what bothers me. Not that this is not a political show, but, hey, if someone has a different opinion, that's what this country is made for. It's like, you don't have to hate the person. I have friends that are very conservative, and I respect them. And, you know, as long as it's when it gets personal and they attack the person rather than try to persuade them on the idea. That's a problem, and it's getting worse.
But you're an open-minded. You're that kind of person where there are some people. I mean, you're cut from their life if you so much as disagree with their when it comes to politics. So before we introduce our guest, I wanted to talk a little bit about you just got in from Sedona.
Yeah,
the film festival.
Phenomenal. The Sedona Film Festival is phenomenal. It's the 21st time they've had it, and it's just a well-organized, incredible, intimate film festival. We've been to other film festivals, and this one is uniquely different, where they have a restaurant in Sedona hosting the party every night at 9 p.m., for the media, for filmmakers, directors, whoever's there, you know, and it's just a remarkable sight to see how this organization and also the intimacy. They have media, the media room all day long. They'll have various stars to unknowns, but are hoping to get their film released. And so I've met some really cool people. The first day I was there, Ed Asner.
Wow.
Had a nice talk with him. He'll probably be on our show. And just an amazing successful person. Talking about politics, he sort of got blacklisted, bounced his Lou Grant show off after breaking all records, I believe, in viewership. But you know, you go against Charlton Heston, that's what can happen sometimes, even though he was powerful. But that's a different show, a different topic.
And then you had Jane Seymour.
Jane Seymour. Well, yeah, I wouldn't put it quite that way.
No.
but you know.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
You spoke with, interviewed, and.
Yeah, that's a little bit better. And she was awesome. Very successful. We talked about her career. And of course, one of my favorite shows she was in, the movies Wedding Crashers. I thought that was hysterical, as well as she. And this is all going to be on our YouTube channel, the complete interview. Richard Dreyfuss, phenomenal.
Wow.
We did some interview questions with him. Earth, Wind, and Fire, Larry Dunn, the original, the guy that produced and did all the songs, and he's a really nice individual, as well as with his wife, Mark Rydell, Academy Award actor on Golden Pond. This is a little bit older generation, but For the Boys, James Caan, Bette Midler. He's had a lot of films and very well known. Brian Connor, sort of, you know, he's an actor and he teams up with Ed Asner and Mark Rydell, and they're putting on some two man shows that Ed Asner and Mark Rydell are doing. And let's see, who else? There's just a lot of people there.
So when you go back, do you have any? Today,
that's
set up.
I'm glad you said that. Chris Lemon, who was on our show on 1480 last Saturday, we're going to see his one-man show, and we'll probably get to talk to him. And of course, his own career has been great as an actor, but he might be probably most remembered, of course, from being he's the son of Jack Lemon, which was a megastar.
Right.
I mean,
actually,
incredible.
Back in my pre-real estate days, we got Jack Lemmon to do a public service announcement for our animal welfare organization.
That is very, very
cool. He was one
of
the celebrities I got to meet.
And so. I did forget one other. We had a lot of conversation with Jeffrey Lyons, one of the most well-known and respected film critics for the last 40 years, radio shows and he syndicated talk. Very nice guy. He knows everyone in town and really enjoyed what he had to say as well. So a lot of things happening. There's stars just popping in and out, so we don't necessarily know from one day to the next who's going to be there. Like Jane Seymour, we had no idea.
Yeah, that's...
And that was very, very cool. So, but some of these upcoming stars and filmmakers, they're phenomenal films. I mean, it's really interesting. And maybe it's technology, but a lot of these films are so good, and there's so many of them there that it's hard to distribute everyone. Mm-hmm. But some, you know, out of this crowd, I predict there will be at least one or two that will make it, you know, out of 165 films. But it takes a lot. Mm-hmm. Not only the passion, everyone has it. Not only the talent, most people have it. Mm-hmm. But somehow you just got to be there at the right time, right place.
Right.
And perseverance may be the key.
Right. Yeah. Consistency and persistency,
I think,
right?
Oh, nicely said. Did you coin
well,
that term?
Well, it's just in everything, right? Consistency and persistency.
Yeah, you're right. I like that.
There's nothing you can, something good has to come from that.
That, you know, you're right. There's no doubt. And people, you've heard stories where they, you know, they just, every day, you know, they're doing, you know, as a waiter, a waitress, so they can have flexibility to get that audition.
Right.
And they, you know, like Richard Dreyfuss said something, and he didn't literally mean this, but he knew he would be famous.
Yeah.
This guy has such a strong personality, character. The talent is just phenomenal. Richard Dreyfuss already won, I think, Goodbye Girl, Best Actor, and then, of course, Mr. Holland's Opus. We actually saw that, and he talked about it. He's had so many films from Close Encounters to Jaws to American Graffiti, one of his early films. But he didn't mention my favorites. I got up and asked him a question. I said, Richard, your films are tremendous. I said, there's meaning in most all of them, and they're just great. But there's one that didn't get a lot of attention. I think it's your best film. And that was a film called Always. Very, very spiritual. And I said it goes from the transition of being selfish to selfless.
Mm-hmm.
Last movie of Audrey Hepburn. And he said, Dave, thanks. He said, that's well put, that from selfish to selfless. And that's what it was about. I highly recommend that film. Steven Spielberg.
I'm going to write that down.
Directed that.
And, you know, what you just said, that he always knew he was going to be.
Yeah. Exactly. Thanks for reminding me of, because I only said half of that. He knew he'd be famous. And people said, oh, Richard, you know. And he said, but if anyone tried to stop him, he'd shoot him. And no, it was that type. He didn't mean it, but is that type of determination.
Yes.
There's no option. He will. And it's not about fame with him, though. I mean, maybe in his younger days, that's what he said. But really, he's just saying that's his passion. He was so good at what he did. He still is, though. I mean, he's only like 67.
But that point you just made is what I think is so key for everybody. And I think that's what this show is about,
yep,
too, is what do you believe in your head to be your passion and your destiny, where people tell you every day, and our guest that's going to be on shortly, I know she had a passion. And when I met her, she wasn't in that passion at the time. And once she got there, she was able to do things that other people would say, well, that's going to be hard. Good luck with that. You know,
you'll get those obstacles
in life when you're following your dreams and your passions, but you know, and how many people know, but never get there.
You know, absolutely. And we could do, and we as not just the empowering women people, but just as people to support others when we don't want to shoot down other people, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
So we should be in the state and say, hey, yeah, what can we do to help? And show as much enthusiasm, because there's nothing worse. I don't know if you've had that feeling where you're excited about something and someone says, you know, whatever.
Yes, I do.
It's like,
yes.
I mean, why would anyone want to do that?
No,
because it's like, wait a minute, because enthusiasm, this is what these actors go through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, only a very small percentage make it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put the damper on an actor,
mm-hmm,
I mean, you know, what if that's the damper that hurts their career and they just give up?
Absolutely. I mean, I know I don't like to really bring up my ex-husband, but his career is a perfect example. I mean, he became a world-known famous bodybuilder.
Yeah.
People would go, yeah, good luck. You guys are never, you know, literally laugh in your face when we said, oh, well, he wants to turn professional. And, you know, and people thought that was the most ridiculous thing, because a handful of people get to do that
every
year. And literally on the grand scheme of things, the level that he reached, really not many people it's very rare. So, you know, having done that, and we put so much into it, and you know, you just kept focused and saying, no, we're going to do this. We knew it was going to happen. We believed it was going to happen, and it did.
Yeah. And that's key. And it would be nice if people supported you, and you may have had a few.
No, you have many times.
Be part of your team,
and you get brought down. And like you said, the actors, there are many where you go, oh, I'm just going to give up. I'm not good enough. You know, I've been, you know, ridiculed and made fun of, and you have to be able to go. When you put yourself out there, you're going to be ridiculed and made fun of, but you got to keep going.
And then a lot of actors or actresses, their parents will say, get a real job, you know. Then once they're famous, like Richard Dreyfuss, they go, remember me? I'm your parents. I remember you.
Yep.
But I'm not saying Richard Dreyfuss. I think his parents were very supportive, but I'm just saying that you've seen it in movies, you hear about it, where they just don't get the support. And it's sad. If someone has a gift, that's what they should be doing in life.
Yes.
Give their gifts and talents to others. And that's the bottom line. And sadly, a lot of people cut themselves short, and they sacrifice, and they sort of go for the paycheck, and that doesn't make happiness.
And I think women especially do that because they sacrifice. They go, oh, I have kids. I'm just not, you know what? It's not my, I'm not going to get to do that.
Or they marry a guy that, the wife supports them through school.
Yeah.
The guy gets a degree, gets a good job, and then trades the woman in for a newer model. That's horrible. I think that's bad.
I got traded in.
You got traded in?
I got traded in.
Man, it's a blessing to you, though.
She was a younger model, but she wasn't a better model.
Yeah, see, there we go.
Means.
But you know what I'm saying. It's just not right.
No, it's not.
And it's sometimes a very big blessing for the women.
It's a blessing for when you actually, you know, I say this all the time. you know, every experience you have is for a reason. That marriage was for a reason. Those lessons, those accomplishments we did together, we had to be together to have those things happen. But looking back, it's a blessing.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it was a harsh way of learn, you know, of getting that lesson in life, but it was definitely a blessing.
No question.
Is.
Well, everything usually is. You just got to find it.
Correct.
Where is the blessing in this situation?
Correct.
And that's the key. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we have a very special guest. Everyone wants to hear this person. It's an inspirational story, a great story of passion. And we will be right back. This is Empowering Women, heard live on the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network and streaming on 1480 AM KPHX. And welcome back again. You're listening to Empowering Women live at the Regis Suites in Peoria, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, the host alongside the best empowering women in the nation, the host of the show, Tara Alveson. This is brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Tara, we have a great guest.
We do. We do. We today have a wonderful human and woman, and she basically was one of the many women who was working in an industry that wasn't her passion, and followed her dreams and created something huge with her belief that she could do it and her all, you know, in her passion. Her name is Razzie Berry. She's the founder, owner, and publisher of Naturopathic Doctors News and Reviews, which is the leading clinical information resource for naturopathic physicians in North America and the only publication to reach virtually the entire naturopathic community in both the United States and Canada. They've won awards. They're continuing to grow. I know my sister was a naturopathic physician, and she was just enamored that I knew the person who created this. So it's an amazing resource, and we welcome you.
Thank you, Tara. It's great to be here, and Empowering Women. I just really love your concept, so thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. So I know when you first started the publication, you had some health problems.
Absolutely.
And can you tell us a little bit about your history and what prompted you to do this in the first place?
Sure. Well, when I was 25 years old, that was 15 years ago now. Hard to believe.
Wow.
It is hard to believe. You look so young.
She looks very young.
You can say that on radio.
We're gonna get a picture of you.
Oh, we can approve it.
Well, I actually had fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, and most people are familiar with that now. But, you know, 15 years ago, that was what they called a trash can diagnosis. It was just all in your head, or you were just depressed. They didn't really see it as, you know, the fatigue and pain that, that mostly women struggle with. So I was diagnosed with that, and it took me on a journey to find my health. Mm-hmm. I went from doctor to doctor, clinic to clinic, famous clinics. I took myself out of state searching for my health. Mm-hmm. And after a rheumatologist told me, you know, sweetheart, you need to go on disability, I thought, gosh, I was only 25. I had never been married. I never had my children, and I just wasn't going to accept that death sentence. So I decided I was going to find my health, and it led me to naturopathic medicine, changed my lifestyle, and I found my health.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, so when you went to a naturopathic doctor, how was it different than I expect just the traditional Western medical doctors? What did you notice? At least in this case, I'm not saying
everything about it was different for me. When you're ill and you go to most disciplines of medicine, they treat you like every other patient that has those set of symptoms. With naturopathic medicine, the doctors treated me as an individual person. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go to a naturopathic doctor, no two cases of strep throat, no two cases of Hashimoto's, no two cases of cancer are treated exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And so they don't really treat your illness, they treat you as an individual. Mm-hmm. And I was just astounded by even the intake that would take an hour, up to an hour and a half, asking you questions about eating, sleeping, emotions, dreams, your pulse, just gathering all the information they can about you to try to help, you know, find what's the best path for you.
They look for the actual problem instead of giving you just, here, take this. And
they look for the cause. And rather than masking the symptom with drugs or whatever, or other treatments.
And it just was eye-opening for me. I went to it reluctantly, thinking, you know, most people go to naturopathic medicine because it's like their last hope.
Right.
You know,
right.
They don't usually go there first, at least not 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
Journey began.
And now more and more people are going that direction. And I know, you know, Razzie and I have talked about I have Hashimoto's and an autoimmune condition, the same thing, where it's an invisible disease to the, you know, you don't look sick, but you're sick and you're always struggling, but you can't really, you know, what are you supposed to do? You can't just, it's not a cut and dry situation because your body is different than the next person.
Right.
So the naturopaths are actually the only ones that have really been able to help me as well, interestingly.
And I'm not surprised by that at all.
No, they look at the whole, you know, everything's
the holistic
connected
approach.
And with females especially, you know, you have your estrogen and you know, all these things, all these hormones that they're all connected. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating.
And another thing that's really fascinating about naturopathic medicine is it is a distinct system of medicine separate from natural medicine or alternative medicine. Naturopathic physician sort of operates on a philosophy that you have this internal this healing force inside you, and that you remove the obstacles to cure, and then your body can do most of the work.
And that's important distinction between that and Western medicine, because if you start with that premise that you have what it takes to heal yourself, it's just some of the obstacles, and maybe we should talk about a few of the obstacles. Are they also talking about or is it mainly mental obstacles, how you believe, what you believe, what you think you deserve, the way you think? Are those some of the obstacles?
Those definitely are. And I think women have their own set of obstacles that are different from men, different from children. You know, there's definitely the psycho-emotional that used to be viewed as not real, but now we know that your mind and body are really one, one part of your whole personhood, your whole being. And so there's those obstacles, belief systems, our environment, attitudes, nutrition.
And naturopathic doctors go into that type of stuff with belief systems?
They do.
That's interesting. I had no idea. That's fascinating. I'm a master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming.
Okay, sure.
You may have heard that.
Absolutely.
And that's all on the mental level. Right. And there's some amazing tools to change limiting beliefs that could cause illness to empowering beliefs that can heal, or at least eliminate the obstacle and your body then takes over. That's one of the presuppositions of NLP, is that you already have all the resources you need to do anything.
It reminds me of what Candace Pert, the PhD researcher, she's one of the scientists that discovered neurotransmitters and how they function. And she says your body is your subconscious mind.
Interesting.
Your body is your subconscious mind, and that's really profound.
It really is.
It is.
It's a different way of thinking about it, which then means, it's sacred.
It is.
Or should be. Yes.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Incredible.
So with all of that, what's really neat is you weren't a naturopathic physician. You became interested in it because it healed your life.
Correct. Yeah.
And I remember speaking to you years ago, and you had this concept for this publication, and you did it, which is amazing. But tell us about how what prompted you to come up with that idea, and what drove you to actually go the next step and do it.
Well, you know, you're right. I'm not a naturopathic physician, but my husband was a naturopathic physician, and I was on this journey to health, and I had been making great strides, but things weren't they weren't perfect. I was still trying to get pregnant. I had, five miscarriages, and I was in a really stressful job. And I remember noticing that there were all these journals for other forms of natural medicine, chiropractic, alternative medicine, and things like that. But there was nothing specifically for naturopathic doctors. And I thought it just sort of came on its own. It's like it tapped me on the shoulder and said, hello, bring me to life. So we came up with this idea to start a publication, and it had been tried before and it had failed for different reasons. There were many naysayers that said the profession's just too small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in an industry, new home sales, that the market at the time was making fantastic money,
right? Mm-hmm.
But it was not really helping my health at all.
No.
It was very stressful, and we just talked about all the different obstacles to health and stress being a major part of those. So, so it was as if the publication already existed. You know, it reminds me of Wallace Wattles. I don't know if you've ever read him, that he wrote The Science of Getting Rich and The Science of Being Great. And he talks about this invisible ether, that everything you need is right there. And it was almost as if this publication was just waiting for us to give birth to it. Really, I always say it was my first child.
Yeah. So. No, it's amazing. Wow. And it's, we talk about this kind of stuff all the time, Dave and Greg and I, because it is, I mean, what you're doing, even with all of you, that you have created, it's the same concept of taking something that's right there. And when you're healthy and when you're clear, like, it's almost like you said, the subconscious, it's really true. You can see, you can hear those messages, and you can actually. So, tell us about how you started. How did you do this? Because it is a huge.
Well, I had no idea what to do. And I think that ended up being a great strength for me, because I didn't follow in someone's footsteps and maybe make the same mistakes they made. I had no idea. Okay. And I wasn't in a position yet where I could quit my day job, as much as I didn't like it. So I continued to do that. And then at night and on my days off, I made a goal for myself to every day do one thing, whether it was research something. Sometimes it would just be doodling ideas on a notepad, but I just made sure that every day I did one thing, and it eventually, you know, one on top of the other. And it just sort of started to happen.
And you went out and actually got, you went out to different physicians. And how did you get the sponsors to, you know, how did you conceptualize that? Like, you know,
right.
Do you know what I'm
sure,
saying?
Sure, I do. Like, exactly. Well, back, you know, 10 years ago, email was not quite as important as it is now. It's hard for us to remember that. But I just, you know, we had this passion and this idea. And so I handwrote letters to physicians that were leaders in the field and basically said, this is what we're doing. We think it's important. Do you want to be part of it? And the response was overwhelmingly yes. So doctors would write in and share their case studies with each other, and we publish that. And how we were talking about how no two illnesses are exactly the same, that's why this resource is so important, because doctors around North America, they might be, you know, it might be our women's health issue or our men's health issue, and they're treating like prostate problems, but every patient is different. So when they write their case studies and submit them to us for publication, it's a way that the whole community and the whole profession kind of grows and learns from each other. And in the end, it makes for better patient care. As far as the sponsors, that was just serendipity, because our first issue, I didn't even have a sample publication to show someone. I just basically made cold calls, and I did have a sales background, but I had never sold advertising before. I mean, you know, I think I remember calling you asking you, like, how do you sell? You're an ad buyer. What made you say yes?
I think
people,
we sat down at Duck and Decanter, remember?
Yeah.
And we were talking, and you were also doing the whole prolotherapy. You were pushing that at the same time. So we were talking about all these ideas. And so that's, you know, even more so when I hear these stories where, you know, you watch somebody just say, you know, I have this idea. And then do it, and do it in a really big way. It's so inspiring to me, because I know so many people have these little ideas tapping them on the shoulder, and they brush them away. Oh, I'm busy. Yeah. I have kids. I have a husband. Whatever, you know, whatever it is. And then they never fulfill what's really inside of them. And you did. And that's what's just so cool to me, that I saw the from beginning to end process. And the sponsors, you know, I know it's hard to get to go out there. I've worked in the media industry, and I've worked in real estate all these years. And she actually, I met her, she was a new home sales agent, and I was a realtor. And I know I was a new home sales agent, how stressful it is and how hard it is on your body. and so to see her
transition. Especially for women. That job is a very difficult job for women because you're alone in these homes and strangers come in.
That could be scary.
It really was. Yeah. It was stressful and you'd have to drive. No, we're not a community that's used to commuting, right? It's not really set up for that. So you have to drive out and it was
very intense. And I know we were both in it in the height, busier times in the market. And I know for me, it was
pre-2003.
Well,
No, 2004, 5, and 6 probably.
Yep.
You're right.
2007 was my best year ever, and it was my worst year ever.
Yeah, then it started going down, but it peaked around 7, right?
Yeah. And then it dropped. Yeah. But that was when, I know I look back at my life during that time. It was my most unhealthy year probably in all aspects of my life.
Stress-related,
but it was the most money I ever made that year.
Oh, wow.
Now,
but you don't want to associate making money with stress because that's not necessarily.
No. Yeah. But what's interesting and what I've done, which I've grown and I've learned from, is you actually can do financial, abundance has nothing to do with stress.
It's an identity to money. If you think that's going to save you.
Yes.
That never will.
That never will save you. But I think at the time I did think that.
But most people do in this culture.
And now you realize. It doesn't save you. You actually, and you can actually make more money and
if
live
you're
a comfortable,
less stress.
Yeah.
And happier. Isn't that the goal of everyone anyway?
It's amazing.
Well, I started it. It was in our spare room, and we were trying to have a child at the time. And so it was interesting because that room would have been our nursery, but we kept having miscarriages. And then it ended up being where we kind of gave birth to the publication. And then later on, after I quit my real estate job, I was focusing just on NDNR, then I was able to get pregnant.
That's our interesting connection too. Why don't we take a quick break? We want to hear about that. But also hear about the publication itself, what's specifically in there and the mechanics of it, and I shouldn't assume, but maybe when it comes out, monthly, quarterly, or whatever. And this is Empowering Women, a special guest, Razzie Berry. I love the name, by the way. We're going to find out how you got that name right after this break.
I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said,
and you are listening to Empowering Women live at the Regis Suites in Peoria, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Tara Elves. And we have such a great guest. Of course, if you want to hear a repeat of this, you can go to breakradioshow.com under archives, under Empowering Women, and hear everything we've talked about. And of course, I'm talking about Razzie Berry.
Hello.
I just love that name, Razzie Berry. And your middle name is Ann, so Razzie Ann Berry.
Right.
Or Razzie Ann Berry.
And it fits her, too. You look like a Razzie Berry. You just, it fits you.
Yeah.
It absolutely fits you.
Yeah, it really does. But what is, how do you get that name, Razzie Berry?
My mom was just kind of a free spirit, kind of a hippie, and, she got married pretty young, and when her last name became Berry, she couldn't decide what to name me. And I think it was her and my grandmother said, "What about Razzie?" And I don't know if she was joking, but my mom loved it. So
it's cute. It's
so
a cute name. What does Razzie mean anyway?
Just like raspberry.
Oh, I see. I knew there was a connection there.
And isn't it
there.
Just Razzie Berry?
Yeah, raspberry.
Raspberry.
Sweet and beautiful.
Yeah.
And
like she
lusciously red. And
that's it. I'm coming every week.
Yes.
I'm a regular now.
Compliment you every time we see you.
Wow, this is cool. But Tara, I think we're going to talk to Razzie about NDNR, which is Naturopathic Doctor News and Review. So take us through how it works. Is it a monthly publication, quarterly?
Yes, it's a month.
Subscription or whatever.
Okay, sure. It is a monthly publication, and it's mailed every month to naturopathic physicians in the United States and Canada, and there's a few that go out to other countries as well. But it is, we do have a website, ndnr.com, and this is our 10th anversary
year. Congratulations.
Thank you. It is so exciting.
It's amazing.
Incredible.
It really is. It is, because this is a time when a lot of print publications are
not doing,
yeah. You know, and we're small because of the profession's small, but we're definitely growing as the profession is. But it, so it's mailed out monthly.
So it's a hard copy. You mail it. Okay.
But this year we just put all of our 10 years of archives online. It's called the NDNR Library. And so anyone can go for free on our website and read any of the past issues. So if if you want to share them with your doctor, or you just have a thing about reading about natural medicine case studies, they're all arranged by year. And there's, you know, different topics, autoimmune,
right?
Women's,
wow.
You know, men's health,
and
pediatrics.
What's your website?
It's ndnr.com.
Oh, that's easy enough.
Yeah.
And then this year we just launched our sister site, if I can say.
Yes. So absolutely. Excited.
It's called Natural Path, and it's thenatpath.com. And this is our patient portal. So NDNR is primarily for physicians, although patients that have illness and things really like to go there to learn. Natural Path is a way for naturopathic doctors to share just everything about naturopathic medicine with patients. And there we talk about natural sexual health. We have a doctor who talks about men's emotional well-being, pediatrics, fertility issues, natural beauty. And it's just wonderful. And we just launched in January. We already have almost 13,000 Facebook fans, which is so exciting.
I know. That's amazing.
That's incredible. Is that a
That's just online only. It's all online. So thenatpath.com for Natural Path.
But it's free?
It's free, yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Have you considered going online with your publication versus mailing it out? Advantage, disadvantage?
Well, yeah,
that?
You know, the doctors just love having something they can hold in their hand.
Good.
So, but we do have, you know, web exclusives every month. And then 1 month after publication, we put it online. And so the doctor can go on their tablet or their, you know, smartphone, or whatever, and read it. And really anyone can go online and read the archives.
Right. And I've been zoom in, and it's done very well. And I can understand that, though, that they would want the actual paper publication. It feels
There's something about
more tangible.
Sometimes there is something about just being able to hold something and earmark it. And, but, you know, it's available in both formats now. So.
Oh, it is. So they have a choice, or do they just can get both?
Well, the current month is always just in print. And then 1 month later, they can go and read it online.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Now,
thank you.
Yeah.
It's consisting of articles written by other naturopathic physicians, correct?
Right, yes.
So it's all combined doctor articles, and then the students that are going to school to be a naturopathic physician, is this something that they utilize as well?
Oh, it's a great resource for them. It's kind of like a virtual grand rounds, because you get a chance to read, you know, how the patient presented, what the case was, how they diagnosed it, how they treated, and what the outcome was. And so it's really a great resource for patients to talk to start a conversation with their doctor, for students who are wanting to learn. And this year we just launched our first student scholarship, this is our second year for the student scholarship. And that's been a way for students to be able to get published, write either a case study or a research review on something they're passionate about. There's 6 naturopathic medical colleges in the United States and Canada. And so the scholarship's open to all of them. And it's been really wonderful.
Wow. One of the questions I wanted to ask you is, because you are not a physician and you have gone into this industry and built this, you know, really the only resource they have in this way, was there any resistance to you from doctors or from anyone because you were not a doctor and you didn't have that background? Were they like, well, why are you doing this?
Right. Well, I was a patient, so I tried to come from that, like wanting to sort of give back. And my husband was a naturopathic physician too. So there was that, but there was some resistance because we're an independent voice for the profession. We're not you know, an official publication of any one of the associations. And, you know, the nature of associations is they're political.
Right.
And they're important, but not everyone always, not every physician believes with that particular ideal. So there, it can be fractioned sometimes. So we're independent. So any sort of naysaying that happened came from some of those. I did have one woman very early on just kind of warned me that, like, and the interesting thing is now we're flourishing and she's not even in the industry anymore.
Oh.
So we just had to set our sights. But one thing that we did from the very beginning, and we would really state this at the beginning of every day, is that we want this to be the highest and best good for everyone involved. The highest and best good for, and that, and I, we knew that that would be the sure way to be successful. We, if our advertisers aren't successful, we're not successful. Mm-hmm. If the doctors aren't successful, we're not successful. So you really, the only way to sustain, and yes, you have to grow slowly when you, more slowly when you do it this way, but to sustain for the long run is just to really keep that for the highest and best good for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. So that's smart. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you know, but also I'm a CPA and a business consultant.
Okay.
And that is definitely the way to go. You know, unfortunately, in America today, a lot of it's short term, and it's greed, and it's power, and it's ego. Mm-hmm.
Instant gratification.
Yeah, and other cultures, you know, in Asia or Europe, I mean, they look generations ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And they're planning hundreds of years out sometimes. I mean, that's a little exaggeration.
Right.
But definitely, you know, strategic planning is not one of the highlights of American business, because, you know, in strategic planning, you're projecting out in the future, you know, minimum 10 years, and you should be longer, because you, with innovation and technology, you got to say, hey, am I going down a path that's going to be extinct in 5 years? And so many companies found out the hard way, like, whoops, you know, I think one was it Blockbuster?
Oh, sure.
I mean, think of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd love to see their strategic planning, like, oh, yeah, this is great. Then boom, online, you know, right. You can get everything. And right. Who's going to go and the bulky, right. Whatever it is, right. VHR, whatever.
What was that term we used? I think when we were having the board meeting, controlled growth?
Yeah, I think it was. And that's important. But long term, what you're saying is project far out, and that will almost automatically assure it's going to be a little bit slower growth and a little cautiousness. Otherwise, you could get caught up, and next thing you know, there's no demand at all.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that when the temptation comes to sell out, you just have to keep your eye on your, not so much on the ball, but on your heart.
So spiritual concept, too, the highest and best good. For all, that means, you know, the doctors are going to benefit, the patients are going to benefit. It really brings patient and doctor closer together, so the patient can participate as well they should. It brings in a lot, you know, learnings. It brings in mentors from, you know, very good naturopathic doctors to say, hey, maybe, you know, try this and look at it this way. This sounds like a phenomenal publication.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, you always want the universe on your side, right?
Yes. So. Yes.
Now, yeah, that's true.
We in this room believe in that.
I know you do.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Yes.
Because alternative is hot and steamy.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Oh, that's 50 Shades of Grey. Okay.
Oh, I forgot. 50 Shades of Grey. No,
we had to review that on our entertainment show.
You did?
Yeah, so we reviewed 50 Shades of Grey, and then I went right to Old Fashioned, which is a great movie. And a big thumbs up for Old Fashioned. It's sort of the anti 50 Shades of Grey, because
I'm not going to see it 50 Shades
of Grey. I agree. I mean, I thought the acting was good, but the message it's giving to society
terrible.
Is not a good situation,
no,
in my opinion.
It's not at all. And there was just some, to get off, you know, on a side note, this, there was an article on Facebook yesterday, and somebody actually was reenacting something from 50 Shades of Grey, and he's in jail now. But some 19-year-old kid. What do you have to say?
Not only that, in a movie theater, I think, there's been a few situations, but I think a woman in, forget what country it was caught doing something.
And oh, I saw that.
I think that
yeah.
So it's crazy, and I've never read the book or anything. I had no
either.
Idea it would be such
but
a big
But he did
phenomenon.
Write the sequel, 50 Shades of Grey.
I did. It does come out in 3 years, though. We had to take some time on
oh,
it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. No, but I agree.
Spielberg's directing it.
But I think it is a slam, you know, on women. A lot of women's groups I don't think like this.
No.
Doesn't make the guy look very good.
No.
To me, they both had internal struggles. And, you know, with neuro-linguistic programming, they could be normal. Unless that is normal because it's breaking all sorts of records. And poor old-fashioned, such a sweet love story. Didn't get much attention.
Yeah. I just can't wait for the pendulum to swing back to wholesome.
Wholesome. I always,
that's the word.
That's the word. I always say, I just want wholesome.
Yeah.
I mean, call me old-fashioned, but I don't.
Wholesome.
I don't. None of this. I wouldn't even pick that book up. And it's not like I'm a, you know, a prude. And, you know, but I just don't. I think it's so silly. It's just
It was meaningless. Moneymaker for whoever made the money.
Yeah.
And Melanie Griffith will not see her daughter in this picture. She's the daughter of what is her name? Greg Nelson.
Dakota Johnson.
Don Johnson's
Melanie Griffith. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Good actor though. I mean, sometimes you look at it. I look when I review a movie because we got to review movies, you know, just the technical aspects. Regardless of the premise, I go, that was pretty good acting.
Yeah.
But I, old-fashioned. See that movie. It's a phenomenal movie.
Okay, I'll make note of that.
Yeah, I think it's probably still out. I know Greg maybe could check it out.
Oh, yeah,
still out.
It is. Absolutely.
Not nice movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wholesome is the word for that movie.
Yes. Oh, wholesome, okay. Wholesome, that's a key word in
it's
life.
It's like holistic.
Holistic.
Actually, it is, isn't it? I never thought of it that way. I like that. Very nicely said.
I always say that when I'm... We're talking about men. Like, can we just have somebody wholesome? Not just,
many people out there. Is that right? Not many men out there.
Don't get me started.
Only 1%.
No, there. I love men, and I think there are so many great guys. It just seems like
it's raining men, isn't it?
It's raining men.
That's a song by someone. What's that? I don't know.
Back
in the day, right?
Yeah, that is a song. It's
raining
the
men,
weather
hallelujah.
Girls.
Oh, the weather girls.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
In the 80s, 90s.
Oh, I thought
early
it was
90s,
like...
Salt and Pepper times.
I was Salt and Pepper times. I never heard of that.
Early 90s? I thought probably... that was like in the 60s.
Well, maybe it was
70s.
A remake.
No, it was a remake. Oh,
Salt
like,
and Pepper did it?
Like, no, it was like Peppa. That time there was like a hip-hop version.
Oh, was there?
I don't know. I just remember it.
I was going to say, because the original was in Dave's day.
Yeah, well, it probably was. What's her name? Went out with Jerry Brown, wasn't it?
I have no
idea. Who went out with Jerry Brown, the governor? Linda Ronstadt. Wasn't it Linda
That's
Ronstadt?
That's a little past
Yeah.
She's an Arizona Way girl. Past. Talk about empowering women.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
she
really?
Yeah.
Heard she had some illness recently.
I think you're right. Yeah. I can't put my finger
What
on
a
it.
Shame. But, okay.
Maybe she'll find a naturopathic doctor.
Yes.
That would be good.
Yes.
She's probably
yes.
listening to the show, I'm thinking. All right. So, NDNR. Well, let's take, you want to take one more quick break?
Then
we'll have our final wrap up. And, of course, this is Empowering Women live from Regis Suites in Peoria, Arizona. And we'll be right back. This is how we do it. And welcome back again. You are listening to Empowering Women live at Regis Suites in Peoria, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Tara Elves and our special in-studio guest, Razzie Berry.
Hello.
I'm thirsty. It sounds like a drink to me. Razzie Berry. What's that great place you go to? They have all the fruit drinks.
Jamba Juice.
Yeah, Jamba Juice. Is that a good place?
Yeah, but I think it's just there's an actual yogurt shop that's called Razzleberry.
Oh, really?
That's what it's reminding me of, Razzleberry.
But a fresh, enlightening drink, Razzie Berry. And, of course, publisher of NDNR, which is another way of saying what? Naturopathic Doctor News and Reviews.
Yes, that's right.
Or review, I should say. By the way, before we get in this last segment, how can people subscribe or how does that work? subscription, you have advertisers perhaps. Yeah. How does that work a little bit so people can contact
sure.
you?
Sure. So it's a free resource for physicians, and so it's all paid for by our sponsors.
Oh.
And but if you're not, so you must be an accredited naturopathic physician. However, you can subscribe. You can go online, ndnr.com, subscribe, and you can subscribe to receive it every month. Or you can go online and read the archives for free on your,
wow.
if you go to ndnr.com library, and you can download it on your laptop, smartphone.
How much is this subscription?
I believe it's $100 a year.
Oh, that's reasonable.
Yeah. For a journal with, there's like 20 case studies a month.
So. And advertisers, what type of advertisers
are
good for that?
They're mostly professional lines of supplement companies and other products that naturopathic physicians use in their practice.
Nice. Yeah. Wow. Very, very cool.
And sometimes you don't know that, you know, how important these things are until you have a problem yourself. I know for me, you know, I'm on pig thyroid and cow adrenal glands but the medical doctor, you know, the Western medicine, that wasn't helping me. I'm starting to feel good again. I'm starting to feel kind of normal again. And, you know, I would have never thought about all of that. But now that I have these issues in my life and I have to research, these are, you know, you're directed to your site. You're directed to things like that to find out, okay, I want to know what other people have gone through.
Right.
And sometimes it takes, you know, it's not for, you know, it's
yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. So. I do indeed. But it sounds like what a great resource for everyone.
Yes.
Thank you, Dave.
Very nice.
Thanks.
You're more than welcome. Very cool.
So now we are about to wrap up here, but we wanted to just talk to you quickly about, you know, the girl that's sitting in the model homes doing her job and going home every night and thinking of something else and how she can take that leap and actually do something that she's really passionate about. Do you have anything to share, to inspire, motivate other women that are in that position you were once in?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tara. I would say two things. First, I would say, you know, it's really important to listen to that voice that's telling you that I should be doing something else. And you don't have to leave your life in order to make it happen. You can do what I did and stay where you're at and do, you know, little pieces at a time until it builds. And there is a quote that I was reminded of that's attributed to Michelangelo. And he said, "I saw the angel in the marble and carved until I set him free."
Mm.
And it made me think, I get really emotional when I think of that. And it made me think that your passion is that angel inside the stone. That's your passion, but that's not enough. The passion's not enough. You have to carve.
Yeah.
You have to carve the stone and set her free, and it can be painful, and it can be slow.
And it can be deep.
Mm-hmm. And this is great. It can be deep. But if you want to set her free,
and it takes action.
Carve. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Action.
That is, I love that.
I love that too. I just wrote it down. I love it.
Excellent.
Love it. Love it. Well, we have very much enjoyed having you here.
I loved being here. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
We'd love to have you back.
I would love to come back.
That's a standing ovation, which is very cool. Give us some of your... It won't be the last, though. And, give out more contact information so people can get in touch with you.
Oh, sure.
Patients.
Sure.
You know,
you
doctors.
Can reach me at publisher@ndnr.com. And my websites are www.ndnr.com and www.thenatpath.com. Thenatpath.com.
Wow, that is so cool. And Tara, another great episode of Empowering Women.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be part of all of this and all the growth with BTBN. I'm so excited for you guys.
We're excited for you. You are the star of this show.
Oh, thank you.
See?
I'm the star.
Yes, you are. And this is such a timely program. And you know, empowering women, it's just a must in today's society. Society's not quite going the way that a lot of people would hope. And this will be the hope, the faith, the inspiration.
Yes.
For the future,
yes.
Bring it to the present, and there we go. And again, Razi, and Barry. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Keep empowering women.
Yeah, absolutely. Tara, of course, always nice seeing you. Thank you. Next month we'll have another Empowering Women show.
Right.
And I want to hear a replay, go to breakradioshow.com under Archives, under Empowering Women. Listen to a repeat of the show. Valuable information, great information, inspirational. Everyone have a great day. I'm off to the Sedona Film Festival for most of the week.
And follow your dreams.
Yes. And we'll see everyone later.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Little sister, who's the only one?